So if we feel that our family attachments are not allowing us to advance in bhakti, then how can we be detached, at the same time do our responsibilities properly? See, at one level there's a lot of judgmentality associated with the words attachment and detachment. And when we say somebody is attached, we think that person is very fallen. And when somebody is detached, we say the person will be exalted. But you know, things are not that simple. See, what happens is, we live in a culture, especially in the Western world, and it's coming to India also. The culture is very averse to commitment. You know, like in the West, many times people, and India also, people just want to live together without even getting married. So what happens is, aversion to commitment is not detachment. Aversion to commitment, that is not detachment. Why? Because aversion to commitment means, say, when a person doesn't want to settle down with one spouse, if that happens. Why is that happening? It's not that because that person is detached. It's that person wants to have as many options for enjoyment available as possible. So if this doesn't work out, I'll try that one. If that doesn't work out, I'll try that one. So that's not detachment. It's actually complete obsession with attachment. So when we come from such a culture where people are averse to attachment, and when they're averse to commitment, and then they are told about detachment, they often, so aversion to commitment is in tamoguna, detachment is in sattvaguna. Aversion to commitment means, I just want to have all enjoyments open and I am not able to decide which to enjoy. But detachment means, none of these enjoyments are so special, I want something more. So what happens is, somebody is in tamoguna, but they imagine they are in sattvaguna. Somebody is just thinking that, you know, getting this enjoyment requires so much work. So better I'll just forget it. But we don't forget it actually, we just don't want to take up the responsibility to do it. So basically, we have to be careful that in the name of being detached, we shouldn't become irresponsible or hard-hearted or uncaring. So we have a vertical relationship with Krishna, and we have horizontal relationship with others. In some ways, these two can be competitive. Especially, say, when the Bhagavatam is spoken at a time when Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body, and he had already renounced all worldly attachments. So at that time, when one is near death, every horizontal relationship can be a distractor from the vertical relationship. So that time, just forget it all, just focus on Krishna. But during the normal course of our life, the horizontal and the vertical relationships don't have to be competitive. Yes, in terms of the time available, it's limited. And you know, whether I can come to a temple or I can take care of my family, that practical balance we'll have to do. But in principle, every relationship forces us to come out of ourselves. Now, all of us are by nature very self-centered. Now, I'll think only of the things that give me pleasure. And any relationship that I take up, if I take it up with commitment, then what happens is, I have to put the other person first. And that brings us out of ourselves. So, in that sense, if we consider bhakti to be the summit of selflessness, where we are primarily concerned about Krishna, then this progression from self-centeredness to selflessness, this expansion of our consciousness, this progression can be assisted by every relationship. Now, every relationship can help us to get out of ourselves. And the more we get out of ourselves, the more we can eventually get into Krishna. So if I'm always thinking about what pleases me, then I I can't think about what pleases Krishna because I never thought about anyone else. So the horizontal and the vertical relationships can also be progressive. They can both help each other. So in our horizontal relationship, we put others first. And when we do that, that also creates an ethos of putting others first. When we do that, then we can put Krishna first also. So in a sense, these relationships can both work together. So in terms of doing our responsibilities diligently, we see that our family members are ultimately souls who are parts of Krishna. And whether this particular soul is presently disposed towards Krishna or not, presently practicing bhakti or not, that is important, but that is not all important. What is important is, even in this soul's heart, Krishna is present. And by doing my responsibility appropriately, in this relationship also I am very close to Krishna. See, sometimes we define bhakti in very narrow terms. We define bhakti, I am growing in bhakti, you know, if I come for every program in the temple, if I do lots of services in the temple, if I am always seen in the temple among the activity, among the visitors, then oh, it's a very serious devotee. Yes, that is one understanding of a serious devotee. That's true. But that is not necessarily the only understanding. Because there are times when material life may have certain circumstances which require our attention. And if we have regularly come to the temple, if we have regularly practiced bhakti while coming to the temple, then we have internalized that mood of service. And that mood of service we can take out in our family responsibilities also. And one of the defining differences between a Kanishtha Adhikari and a Madhyam Adhikari is that a Kanishtha Adhikari sees the relationship with Krishna only in terms of Krishna. If I come to the temple and worship the deity, that's bhakti. And what I do in the rest of my life, it doesn't matter. But a Madhyam Adhikari, a middle level devotee, sees the connection of Krishna with everything. So my spiritual growth will happen not just by how often I come to a temple, but my spiritual growth will also happen by how I deal with my family members. Now, if a particular family member is very irritating, then if I am tolerant at that time, if I am understanding at that time, if I am patient at that time, now, although externally there may seem to be no connection with Krishna, but through that also, you know, I may do that out of simply helplessness and frustration. You know, because this particular family member is older to me or in position of authority, so I just have to obey. But I can also do that in my service. You know, Krishna is present in this person's heart. And you know, there are some people who are very difficult to serve. Those people are so irritating that we don't feel like doing anything for them. So we may not be serving. We may, if we think this person is so harsh, so uncaring, I don't feel like serving them. But we may say, okay, I am not serving that person. I am serving Krishna through that person. That means the way I conduct my serving, I can go closer to Krishna even by how I deal with a non-devotee. Why? Because Krishna is present in their hearts also. And if I am conducting myself in a humble, tolerant, that does not, tolerant way, that does not mean that we let them compromise our bhakti. We have to arrive at a proper understanding. But we shouldn't have this very limited conception of bhakti that just coming to the temple and doing directly devotional activities of spiritual growth. But even doing our family responsibilities with a mood of devotion, that also leads to spiritual growth. And Srila Prabhupada, in the 1930s, there is a discovery in Prayag. At that time, he was trying to start his Prayag pharmacy going on. And then there are the interviews of many of the people who met Prabhupada. So there was a doctor with whom he was working. And this doctor in his interview, he says that, and it is clear that Abhay Babu, it is called, it was not a sannyasi. So Abhay Babu was a very religious person. He was very religious. But at that time, his main anxiety was, how can I earn more money? And this is a pure devotee. He is Mahabhagavat. But at that time, that was what his family responsibility required. That was what he felt, how I can serve my spiritual master mission also. So, if You know, if Prabhupada had been analyzed from the Gaudiya Math's perspective, you know, how many times was he visiting Gaudiya Math? Yes, he was coming, but not all the time. You know, he was going for his business here, going for his business there. But still, in his heart, he was committed to spiritual master. Now, nothing that I say should be taken as a license for decreasing our directed emotional activities. What I am saying is that if our circumstances require us, our social, our family responsibilities, other responsibilities require us to pay more time and attention, we should not necessarily see it as a disturbance in our bhakti, as an interruption in our bhakti. We can see that not as an interruption in our bhakti, but as a modification in the form of our bhakti. Like earlier I was doing bhakti more like this, now I'll do more bhakti this way. But through it all, we are growing towards Krishna. Does it answer your question?